The message you're about to listen to has been offered to cause a revival in your life. Now receive the ministry of FEM Foundation.
Well, can we dive straight into the word? For the period when I'll be speaking, I'll be speaking majorly about revelation and the supernatural. I want to honor the work that already has been done here, just so that we can find a basis and a context. And I trust the Lord that at some point in these sessions, the hand of God will just move mightily in our midst. Do you trust the Lord with me? Come on, do you trust the Lord with me? All right, so we trust Him for a move of His Spirit and His power greatly as we wait in His presence. All right, I want to lay foundations that I believe you know. This is a well-taught church, so I should not struggle with many things. I believe you know that in the very essence of man, man by nature is supposed to be supernatural. That the supernatural is not supposed to be the visitation of man, it's supposed to be his consistent habitation. And if the supernatural is supposed to be his consistent habitation, what we want to ask is, how did we fall from the place where the supernatural is a habitation and we now celebrate the visitation of the supernatural? Because the covenant of God, especially in Psalm 91, is that he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide perpetually under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, that shadow of the Almighty is actually what makes you supernatural. So every principle that man was born to operate is a supernatural principle. By principle, man himself is supernatural. Somebody say, I'm supernatural. Now, so naturally, with the fall came the naturalness or the conversion of man from being a supernatural being to being a natural being. And in becoming a natural being, man became a rational being because he did not have the full access to knowledge to know what is available to him and then walk according to that which is available to him. Okay, I think I spoke a little too fast. All right, did you get that part? So find out, look at this. The moment God made man, I think I said this last year, the moment God made man and God wanted to test the quality of the man that he made, all he wanted to do was to see if him and the man are thinking the same way. If him and the man are thinking the same way, it means that the man has access to everything God has access to. Are you following me? So he brings the animal to see what Adam would call them, and whatever Adam called them, so were their names. Meaning Adam did not need information to know. Oh God. So that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Bible speaks about two kinds of knowledge. Is anybody with me? Come on, saints, is anybody with me? The Bible says that, give 1 Corinthians chapter 13 from verse 8 on the board, if you would. Love never fails. Love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall what? Fail. He said, and whether there be tongues, they shall what? Cease. Now, the third one is our focus, all right? We're time bound. So, I've got to jump certain things and focus on the third. The third one says, and whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So it tells you about a knowledge that will vanish. A knowledge that is progressive. A knowledge that is not permanent. A knowledge that Reverend K was speaking about in the announcements we just saw. That the way we knew to make pounded yam before. Right? Makes sense, right? You got to have some pounder somewhere and bah! Bah! Because the sweat hates the... Thank you. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. Except that that knowledge was the best man knew as at that time. And then that knowledge increased, so certain knowledges vanished away. Aha. Are you following me? Have you ever wondered how people lived before without cell phones? Now, many of us were alive when cell phones were not here and we survived, right? But I hope you know that to the generation of your children, people without cell phones are aliens. So there is a knowledge that is vanishing by reason of the increase in access to knowledge. But there is a knowledge that will not vanish. I'm coming. Where there's knowledge shall vanish away. Three things he spoke about. knowledge, tongues, and prophecies. Next verse. He said, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. It means that, of course, it is the increase in the access to knowledge that increases prophecy. And prophecy is the declaration, basically, in basic English. Prophecy is the declaration of the things that are in the intent of God that are yet to come. Right? Apart from the prophetic that is comforting, edifying, and... Now, don't be looking at me strangely like that. Do you get it? Yeah, well. There's a working of prophecy that is edification, comfort, and exaltation. But there's a working of prophecy. The Bible says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Meaning every time Jesus makes a declaration to the glorious assembly that you find in Hebrews chapter 12, something is about to be born that was never seen upon the earth. But let's make advancements. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. Give me verse 10. Then he said, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. Are you following me? We're speaking about the supernatural. And I said to you, the first access to the ideal man that we saw was that that man had access to the unlimited resource of the knowledge and the wisdom of God. That means, God does not have because he keeps. God has because he knows. That means whatever God requires right now, he has the wealth of wisdom and knowledge to bring it to pass. So God does not speak about his wealth in what he has kept. Oh God. I wish you got it. God does not have because he kept. That means that the true wealth of your knowledge is not in what you have gathered. So Romans chapter 11, Romans chapter 11 closed by saying, oh, the depth both of the riches of the knowledge and the wisdom of God. Romans 11, put it on the board. The last two verses. Romans, give me 35. 33. Good. All the depth of the both of the and so how does God measure his wealth? In wisdom and in knowledge. So, Pastor Ben, God does not look at himself and he say, because I created gold or because I have gold stored, I'm rich. God knows that if heaven ever requires anything, there's sufficient wisdom and depth of knowledge to create it. That means that when man confronts anything, he should not confront it on the basis of the resources he has available. He should confront it on the basis of the amount of wisdom and depth of knowledge. Do you understand it? It means that if I have access to this wisdom and knowledge, nothing can be stopped. So you see the power of witty invention hiding somewhere in Romans chapter 11. If you understand it, then you will know that your limitation is not where you were born. Because I'll show you. That God is still as interested in bringing us back to that state where we are totally supernatural. And supernatural and spooky are two different things. Jesus was completely supernatural but was not spooky. He could pass through a farm and cut the corn. And they will eat it raw on the road. There are some things I'm studying about Jesus. The best part of Jesus, apart from all of the things he revealed from God, is how simple he was in his daily living. If you know it, you will hate complexity. I know you have heard this before. But it's not for nothing that he had to be betrayed by a kiss. If you entered into the midst of him and his disciples, you could not tell the difference. So many of the things that we're doing, when knowledge increases, it will die. But let's get there first. All the riches, both. That's the reason why when things are going out of order on the earth, God is not moved. You are crying Nigeria. You think heaven will say, hey, ha, Abel, let's do it. How do we solve this Nigerian problem? The depth of the riches, both of the knowledge and the wisdom of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. If you find out the ways of God, then you know him. That was what Moses meant when he said, show me your glory. Is anybody understanding what we're saying? Now, please take me back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He said that knowledge will cease, tongues will fail, all of this will pass away. He said, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is part shall be done away. Give me verse 11. He said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, and I... That means there are three things that define your spiritual posture or your spiritual maturity. How you speak, how you think, and the realm from which you understand. I'll give you a level of understanding. A child runs up to his father and he says, father, daddy, buy me an aeroplane. As far as he's concerned, he doesn't know what his father is doing. He doesn't know. It's because of those kind of children that they made a rubber aeroplane. Because you have to bring him something that looks like. The moment you began to mature, reason entered into you. You looked at your father. You know that for him to buy an aeroplane, he has to sell to your ancestors. So you kept your request within the boundaries of what you can see. Oh, and I wish we could see the Heavenly Father and see how limitless he is. Then you will see that our boundaries are taken away. But when I was a child, I thought like a child, spoke like a child, I understood like a child. Then he said, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Wait. He was speaking about knowledge. And then he suddenly said, when I was a child. It means that there's an operation of knowledge that is childish. And every operation of knowledge that is childish will vanish away. Give me the next verse. Forgive me. I've got to move very fast because I've not started laying foundations for tonight. You are used to these things. For now, we see through a glass darkly or vaguely. He said, but then face to face. It then means that when a man sees God face to face, everything God knows, the man will know. How do we know? Look at it again. Now, every knowledge we have comes through a vague glass. He said, but then, when we arrive at perfection, when we arrive at the fullness of love, he said, we will see face to face. He said, now I know how. You remember he had said, I know in part and I prophesy in part. Then he said, but then shall I know even as also I am known. First thing I want you to mark there is that you are known. There's a God who knows you. He knows the frailty of your present humanity. And he knows everything he created you to ever be that you have not yet become. And is working night and day to connect the two. I said again. He knows the frailty of your humanity and the limitations that bind you on the earth. He knows every capacity and potential that he has put inside of you. And he's working night and day to cause you to make the journey from the limitations that you are in now into arriving at the fullness of what he sees. Listen. That God, who is working night and day to take away, because actually, the frailty of your humanity. Remember we said what took man away from being supernatural was the fall, which is what we now are referring to as the frailty of your humanity. Excuse me. Jesus sends his guys away in the night. Sorry, I come this way because I'm speaking to men of God. They are the ones who, they are the custodians of the ancient scrolls. Jesus sends his guys away in the night and tells them, cross over. They took the last boat. At whatever time Jesus finished praying, sir, he woke up and then this is land, that is sea. He walked like this. Oh, you didn't see me. He woke up in the evening after prayer. He didn't get here and pray in tongues. He didn't say maramana mama shabad. Are they single? Huh? He got out of prayer. And then just where are they? They are somewhere in the center of the sea. Ah, there's trouble there. The difference is that while physicists and whatever are giving you a theory that tells you that the weight of man is stronger than the weight of the sea, there was a knowledge that was perfect that he carried. And that perfect knowledge had undone every natural reality around him. So the word impossible did not exist in his dictionary. So Jesus did not need faith to walk on water. In the context in which you know faith. You saw the way I did faith. Like I have a project. I'm believing God. One of the most annoying things about the life of Jesus is how simple he made the supernatural. And what made that the supernatural could be that simple to Jesus was knowledge. I'll tell you a bit of it. One of the things he knows is that the product of the fall, by reason of the sin of man, is that all creation was subject to vanity. And that creation was subject in vanity, waiting for the man who they knew was their custodian. Because the man that subjected them to vanity subjected them in hope. No, don't look at me like that. That's Romans chapter 8 I quoted. It's just scripture. I just read the Bible. Okay, I like to say this. I think I said it last year. Our calling is not to read your Bible for you. No pastor is called to read the Bible on your behalf. Our calling is to give you deeper understanding of the things that you are supposed to have already read. Amen. Okay. So, they have decided to help you. It's on the board. For the creator was subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who subjected the same in hope. That means that when Adam fell, creation fell with him. But because creation did not choose their fall, they had the right to hope that another man in the ilk of the man before the fall will show up. And the day he shows up, they will be redeemed from that vanity. Oh, hey, well. I'll come again. Amen. I bet. Give me one person that can fall with me. Come, mercy, come. Let's fall. Not in that sense. Because you know, church people, their minds are very. And the girl is married. Right? They are thriving. This is me. All right? For the sake of illustration, giving the charge to take care of a beautiful sister. That's what a husband is supposed to be, actually. To work for her perfection. Then I turn around and by reason of my foolishness, I fall. Now the problem is because I was set in charge of taking care of her, she is bound to me. It's a spiritual law. That's the reason why you must pray for your pastors. That's the reason why the fall of Lucifer was the fall of all the angels in his rank. If you look at the law of the fall, Pastor Percy, I met certain people recently who were part of a movement that fell in my city. And I could feel the pain, because together with the fall of that man was the fall of those people. Until today, they are looking for the fragments of their life. Don't commonize your pastors. Neither did I say you idolize them, because we just spoke about simplicity. But you must exalt the place that they hold in your heart and understand that the coordination of the purposes of God on the earth rests upon them. And because God takes time to raise, if they fall, it will take some time. God already has men, but it will take him time to raise them back there. So I saw one of them looking at me from the congregation recently, and I could read his spirit straight. He was looking at me in the light of that movement and was feeling the pain of how much they lost, because they plunged into that movement with their whole lives. And yet God requires that kind of loyalty for anything to survive. That's the reason why you cannot do church from afar. You can't. You see this church that I did, I just don't like the complexities of, okay, sorry. You know, when people do that, it's because they are touched. So you know what, I just don't like the complexities of human relationships. So you know what I'm going to do? I'll just arrive church 30 minutes into the service, and you know, when they're taking the announcements and it looks like they're getting set to close out, I just close before everyone, because you know, I just go there to get the word. My brother, you have not started attending church yet. We are alive. So can I go on? So the moment God binds a thing, please, don't worry, my wife is here. Even if your husband is here, he has to understand, because even my wife is here. So God ties her experience to mine. That's the story between man and creation. So that as man fell, she didn't have a choice. So she didn't fall willingly. I hope you know that the same way man is fading away, creation is also fading. That the quality of vegetable in the market 20 years ago is not the same with the quality of vegetable. So as the fall advances in humanity, it also advances in creation. But the Bible gives us glorious hope in Romans chapter 8, saying that when these guys fell, they fell because of me. But they fell in hope, knowing that a day is going to come when they will see not this man, but this man. And creation knows that the day they see this man, they know that their redemption has come. That's the reason why every time Jesus spoke to creation, creation responded. That was what they meant when they said, "What manner of man is this?" It means that this man is not your regular man. How do we know? Because the winds and the seas obey him. So when the sea saw him coming, they knew that as it was with that man, so shall it be with this man. That means if Adam before the fall walked to the sea, he'll pass. So Jesus shows up here, says to the sea, "Peace be still." So creation is not waiting for men of faith. Creation is waiting for a manner of man. It has seen that man before. You think these things don't see, right? These mountains you are looking at, they are witnesses. So they have seen generation after generation. They are just observing you and your children. You live 60, 70 years, you pass, they will still be looking. When your son is coming, you say, see the son of that foolish man. You know, so creation sat down like this. and watched us from the perfect state to the continual walking of the fall until we have arrived at the place where if you leave 50 now, by 50, we have already celebrated, we have started celebrating our... Say, my brother, life has died for me. At 50, Abraham was still jogging. And Abraham was in the fall. No. You have not noticed that immediately after the fall, men could live 900 and something years. Now, if we live 50, 60, oh boy, life has tried for us. So at 45, we're already wrinkling. Say, my brother, now age. Age of what? And yet, mercy has abandoned me. Yeah. No. Just sit down. I know you want to write. You know the girl loves God. Are you following me? So look at it. It then means that what is responsible for our restoration is what we get to find out in God. Now, let me take a moment and show you how willing God is to restore us. Because it's easy to find out what we look like. Look at him. Do you understand? So as we meet the God we came to, and as we keep beholding you, what may we? If you see the journey in scripture, you will see that the target of the journey consistently is to be conformed to his image. That means there's no reason to be a Christian if you are not expecting to one day be exactly like Jesus. So Christianity is not a means of survival. It's a pathway to glory. Why am I Christian? I came so that God can just let God just give me one breakthrough. I don't get one contract like this, 100 million. Bah! That's the reason why the moment you arrive at that plateau, you begin to descend. And that has been God's problem throughout the Bible. Every time he brings people to an ideal state, they rest because they think they have attained something. And together with that rest comes a decline. Then a next generation is looking for the stories that their fathers told them and they cannot see it. There's something we must start tonight. And I trust the Lord. We don't start it tonight, we'll do it tomorrow morning. But... let me not start another tomorrow this year. It's not going to work. Hallelujah. Is anybody getting blessed? Are you seeing the true essence? So the true essence of God is to bring you to the place where you yourself are perpetually, consistently supernatural. Man fell, God did not. I'll tell you the reason to be thankful. So you can now change into his image because he never changes. If you came to a God who was not consistent, you will not have a pattern to change into. But because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, you now see what the ideal is, so that the consistency of your journey is to arrive at that ideal. And you must kill that fallacy that told you you cannot be like Jesus. You must kill it. Hope must rise inside of you. That someday everything will respond to me like it responded to Jesus. So let's establish, how does the supernatural function? Because if I'm not supposed to visit the supernatural, listen. From time to time, when God begins to find the people whose hearts are responding to him, he shows up and he does what you now know as miracles. But the idea of miracles is like first fruit, a foretaste of a place where that thing abounds. Oh God. So if we enter a service like this, God is willing to heal, he is able to heal, he shows up to heal, but really the desire in the heart of God is not just to heal your body, it's to keep you perpetually healthy. And bring you to a place where sickness and disease cannot even thrive. Amen? Something I wanted to lay in my foundations. Let me say it very quickly, all right? Jeremiah was speaking, Jeremiah chapter 17. And he said, what is the man who trusts in man? He said, the man will wither and he cannot see good when he comes. He said, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. He said, for he will be like a tree planted by the rivers. Then he said, he will not worry in the year of doubt. He will not cease to yield his fruit. He will not fear when the heat comes. Listen, it means that the sign that you are thriving now makes that the source of everything else in the earth is not your source. Okay, I say it again. Keep that foundationally. Now, why do you say like a tree planted by the rivers? What he's saying is, even if the entire city goes dry and it does not have supply, that tree that is by the river doesn't know what's happening in town. Doesn't know. That tree doesn't know what's happening in town. Now listen, it then means that the degree to which you carry fear concerning anything is the degree to which you are not rooted and planted in God. Wow. Take some time and think about it. There's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Let me lay something foundationally. So, generation after generation, do you understand the supernatural now? Do you understand it? Do you understand that there's a place where you are perpetually supposed to operate like Christ operated? In fact, you even have an advantage. Your advantage is the resurrection. Because our image is the post-resurrection Christ. But let's go. So if you read through scripture in our journey into the supernatural, because I've been asked to speak about the supernatural and revelation. So revelation becomes necessary in revealing to us what the ideal is as we change into it. But we'll get there. So if we now understand, then you will look through scripture and find out that throughout scripture, God was on a journey perpetually to restoring man to the fallen image. Sorry, back from the fallen image. To the ideal image that he had from the very beginning. And his journey is long. So if you read the book of Genesis, you'll find several beginnings there. God's beginning in Adam. God's beginning of the earth. Sorry, beginning of the earth. The beginning in Adam. The beginning in Enoch. The beginning in Noah. Then you find the beginning at Babel. Then you find the beginning in Abraham. 5 attempts consistently. And all the attempts were products of the failures of the previous ones. So God has failed. So if failure is an event, God too must have failed. That means failure is not an event. But God, I said God, the Almighty, started again and again and again and again. That means that the mark of a true man of faith is that he's not afraid to begin again. Listen, if anything ever looked like it was not working in your hand and you lacked the will to begin again, you are looking at the wrong image. We are talking about the Almighty God, creator of the heavens and the earth. He will do a thing, it will fail. But there is a depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. You never see God sweating and jumping up and down. He has never called emergency meeting before. He looks, he's damaged. Let's start again. God began again and again and again and again and again in an attempt to take possession of his earth and reclaim his man. So he wants to see the man who is in his image. Because the man that he wants to set in charge of the earth actually is the man in the image of his son. Look at Jesus now. How many cars did he have? Help me. Did he have one? That means in the natural, I'm richer than Jesus. Richer. I'm talking Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Savior of our world. He asked the treasurer of his ministry to feed 5,000 people. If it's bread they want to eat, how much is the most expensive bread in Benin? 500. So let's say we are giving one man, one bread each, times 5,000. Times 5,000, 2.5 million. I know that if I tell Pastor Benson now that I'm in trouble and it's 2.5 million that will save me, that money will come out here tonight. I mean, here tonight. And the treasurer of Jesus said, ah, that's our ministry money for 1 month. 1 year. And yet, the Lord, Pastor Holy, the Lord didn't stop and say, hi, why is my ministry not growing? See, I would have been able to do more for the kingdom if there were more people giving. Oh, the depth. Pastor Benzi, God finally got me to build my first church this year. He finally convinced me, because all of our churches have been in tents, and it was actually prophetic speaking. It was prophetic speaking. But finally, he asked us to build a building that we called, that he called, the Tabernacle of David. So when you do Tabernacle of David, and I'm watching, I'm just laughing. Everybody just copying me, including the Reverend. I don't know. Once I just start something, everybody just be copying. I don't even understand this thing. There is one Lord, one faith, one spirit, one baptism, one Father. If you are connected to him, every church is supposed to feel like home. There can be diversities of operations, but you will tell that there is one Lord. There are places I enter, I know it's not the same Lord that is. Me and you, we don't bow to the same Lord. I know it. Not forget it. Can't notice you are saying. I know my father. He doesn't say like that. Father, sir, God had to deceive me to build that building. Deception. We saw the place for the first time in February. For the first time, February this year. And by the grace of God, we're rounding up. I mean, structurally. You know? We entered into negotiations in March. When they told me the price, we didn't have 1/5 of the money. And I told you the uniqueness of my city and the kind of people in it. That's not the kind of city where you want to do that kind of project. It's in record. Ask anybody in my city. If you have to build a church, you need like 6-7 years to complete it. So, we managed to buy the place. And I was thinking we'll just break the walls inside and then just create a hall from there. Just find a way to beautify it. And we were ready to go. Then I now looked. Then God now asked me. He said, you say you want to pastor this city. And I said, I've given you the city. How many people will this place sit? I said, hey. So I knew there was trouble. So I looked outside. I saw vast land. I said, okay, you know what? We'll convert this place that we just bought to our office. Then we will use the vast land and build something. Then, okay, that one will take like 1,200 people. So we said, okay, let's set out. We had finished. Architects had finished design. We're still in our final meeting. We finished the final meeting. I went to sleep. Then God asked me, "That is it the church for the office or the office for the church?" What kind of silly question is that? Hey, see, you people, I don't like preaching in time. When we get to eternity, come for my sessions. But you know, at some point, we have to close. So just reduce the clap so that I can save me a few minutes. You get... Now, what he now revealed to me was that I was giving greater priority to the office and to the church. And that the office exists to aid, coordinate what happens in the church. So you cannot give priority to the office and not the church. So I knew exactly what you were saying. Bring down this thing. This building, built by bricks. I asked the brick market, each of the bricks is 400 naira. As they were pushing that wall, my heart was coming. Is money we are wasting? No, don't push it like that. Push it softly. Let's save some of the blocks. Then I put together a wicked building team. Very wicked people. Then they sat down. Then they said, sir, well, if we are going to build, let's just build something good. Okay. Then they built something. They did a design with gallery on top. Then they now told me, I said, how much will finish this thing? Then they say like 7-8 million. And I believed. Because I've never built anything. Never. I don't own a house. I don't. And it's a matter of consecrations. It's not a matter of resource. It's a matter of consecration. I've never built anything before. I know if it's price of tent, I would have told them. But this time it's building. So they said, ah, sir, 7 million, 8 million. I don't want to mention the millions that have died there before people block me by the door. In 4 months, the entire building had come up. Now, let me tell you one of the things we saw, sir. It changed my perspective about many things. One of the things we saw was that from the first day the first block rested, work has not stopped till today. There is no day we stopped to say, okay, because there's no money, let them not work. And all the people who are giving to that project, apart from 7 people that God laid in my heart to give letters, who, by the way, all 7 of them don't fall within the first 10 givers on that project. Everybody God sent to give to that project at a massive capacity came of his own accord, driven by God. Then I discovered that while we are sitting down and analyzing how much we have in our account, what we have spent on that building, without exaggeration, would have been our ministry budget for like 4 or 5 years. I said our entire ministry project, outreach, every welfare, every the whole ministry, salaries, everything, would have taken us at least 5-6 years. Then I figured out that when God instructs, he does not instruct according to your capacity. He instructs according to what he is willing and able to do. Then when you respond, you will now find out that you have entered into a realm that the earthly does not control. Let me tell you the second thing it did to me. I'm not a testimony person. Let me tell you the second thing it did to me. It now makes that I can look now within our communal structure. We're thinking of building our first community building. Buying 50, 60 plots of land and begin to build our first community. Because we want to now see how community operates. Then you find out that many things would have been cheaper if we were in community. This one that everybody is building borehole in the house. If we had worked communally, it would have cost us a lot less to build, to sink one borehole and supply everybody. And it's the water table. If you know it by geography, the waters will gather. Because we always think personal prosperity. We are always thinking self-sufficiency. And because we are thinking self-sufficiency, we are taking God's resources and we are wasting them. So God is looking at the people who are not yet thinking like he's thinking, who are asking to carry his will. Then he sets a plan in motion. Forgive me, just a few more minutes. He sets a plan in motion. He starts again, 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 until he finally arrives at a man, Abraham, targeting a nation, Israel. I'll speak about this tomorrow morning. He arrives at a man, Abraham, targeting a nation, Israel. And what he wanted to do in Israel was create the ideal community. The place where the supernatural becomes natural. Even in Israel, he did not achieve it within the context of what is in his heart. That's why Jesus said, when we pray, we should say, let your kingdom come. So that for the first time, we can see ideal community on earth as it is in heaven. Listen, the moment we arrive at the knowledge of the supernatural, the first thing that comes to us is the knowledge of how boundless the resources we have are. So let us establish to what degree. Did you see that it is knowledge that drives the supernatural? Did I? Was I able to reveal that to you? It is knowledge that drives the supernatural. If you don't know it's available to you, you cannot even begin. Now, knowing that it is knowledge that drives the supernatural, to what extent does God want us to be supernatural? It will shock you. A scripture you know. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Scripture you know. Let's say that and close there. Oof. Oh Lord. But as it is written, I had not seen, meaning it has not come to the physical realm yet, nor ear heard. Right? That means that nobody has been able to capture this enough to declare it yet. Nor has it entered into the minds of man. It means that it has not even come at the level of idea. What God has spared for those who love him. Now, if you back up with me to give me verse 6 and 7, very quickly. You will find out that why is God keeping it? Why have eyes not seen it? Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world. Why? Because that wisdom comes to naught. Now read verse 7 and read it with me carefully. He said, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. That means God can stand in this room and talk, and only those who he wants to hear what he said will hear it. Everybody will hear some. Only who God is talking to will know what he said. That's how Jesus operated. Those were the meaning of the parables. Later on, the disciples said to him, sir, which we did not understand. He said, okay, come, let me explain it to you. But the operation is that you, it is given to you to know. But unto them, it is not given to know. So, listen to me. That means that the strongest base of the supernatural is not power coming out of your hand. The strongest base of the supernatural is a knowledge. When that knowledge sits inside of you, the day that power, fire is required to come out of your hand, it will come. The day that ravens are required to bring you food in the wilderness, they will come. Every supernatural working you see in scripture has a solid core in a knowledge base. So how be it we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom. That means that if that knowledge came from God, you will not find it on the surface. Even the hidden wisdom. Why does God hide it? Which God ordained before the world unto what? So the whole idea is that the one who is closest to God is the one who will find it out, is the one who will be glorified, is the one who will rule the earth. There's no time. The one who is closest to God. Can I get a row of people? Can I get like 5 of you? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Just come. Now stand at different. You come here. Stand there, sir. Yeah, please, if you would. Just stand there. Thank you. Stand here. Now, face me. step forward. Stop there. Come and stand there, sir. Who's closest to me? That means in the supernatural, this proximity is equal to level of knowledge. But by the time there's an illustration, I wait for tomorrow morning to do because of time. When we arrive there, you will know that the Bible says, who had known the Lord that he might instruct him. So look at this. Proximity is knowledge. So the closer he is, the more he's likely to know the things that are hidden about me. Because from where he's standing, he's seeing details about my dress that she's likely not seeing. So if she gives you an explanation of who I am, it will be true, but it will not be as accurate as when he does. And I'll show you when we come tomorrow. That was what Moses had, that Moses denied the children of Israel. The wickedest thing Moses did. That's the most wicked act of the life of Moses. So, look at this. The closest person to me is the one who, because listen, while you are looking for a secret to succeed, God is not looking for who to give secret to succeed. He's looking for who is closest in image to himself. Because it takes the humility and meekness of God to have such power and not be swallowed. I'll talk about it tomorrow. There's a power we seek. That power kills anything that is immortality that bears it. That's the reason why they give you small church to pastor. 150 people. You have slept with 10. It is just that sense in which the moment you are set above, you just think that. So God is looking for the person who is humble enough in demeanor. So while you are seeking power, God is seeking to change you. Because if he can change you, then he can trust you. Because in setting you above like himself, go up, sir. I've ordained you preacher now. In setting you above like himself, look at this. He expects that the guy who stands here should be the one who will serve all these people. So this guy is actually the chief. So really, God is looking for an opportunity to bless everyone. And yet, he requires the one who is closest to him to carry it. Because closest to him will reveal deeper secrets to you, but will have changed you into the kind of man that can carry the secret. The conflict between man and God and the bearing of the supernatural is this matter. So it is the wisdom of God. It's in a mystery. It is hidden unto our glory. In the end, God wants to glorify us by it. That means by the time we find the things that God has hidden, we will be set above. But by being set above, we will never take power and use it for control. We will take power and use it for service. Have you ever thought that the God in whom all the universe consists now finds a way to compress himself and live in you? Because he wants to take the knowledge that fills the universe and reveal it to you. So he had to make it personal to you. If you understand this, thank you, please sit down. Thank you. Now, if you understand this, listen to me as I close. Give me back that scripture on the board. Then he said, even the hidden wisdom of God, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. He said, but as it is written, verse 9 where we started, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the mind of men what God has spared to glorify those who love him. Then he said, verse 10, and this is where I close, but God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. Stop. Then he now says to you, the knowledge bank of God is the Spirit. If knowledge is equal to the supernatural, so what makes God supernatural is the Spirit. Then he said, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, what? That means God cannot hide anything in counsel or in principle from the Spirit. Oh God. Oh God. We'll take it tomorrow. But God cannot. I did not say he will not. God cannot keep a secret from the Spirit. So the Spirit himself is the knowledge bank of God. Therefore, the Spirit searches all things. Yea, the deep things of God. Then he said, for what man? That means by principle. Now, listen to me. Can I tell you something that will shock you? That the knowledge in your spirit cannot compare to the knowledge in your mind. The knowledge sitting resident in your spirit. Your spirit is the reservoir. It's not your mind. There are things your spirit knows that your mind will blow if it knows it. So it tells you that God cannot. I did not say he will not. God does not tell the spirit his mind. No. The spirit, everything in the heart of God, the Spirit searches it. Even the very deep things of God. So when they say to you, God is light, you should fear it. Because it means to his last thought, there was no day he ever sustained evil in his thinking. So the Spirit doesn't ask God, Lord, what are you doing? If the Godhead conceives it, the Spirit retains it. For what man knows the things of a man except the Spirit in the man? Even so, the things of God knows no man except the Spirit of God. Then he said, verse 12, and I close there. He said, resort to your own Bible. Because this one, I need you to see it. If knowledge is what drives the supernatural, verse 12 is the height of it for me. If knowledge is what drives the supernatural, look at this. Are you there? If you are there, say amen. If you are not there, say wait for me. Aha. Is your Bible still analog? Okay, are you there now? All right. Verse 12. Can we read it together? Let me be sure you are there. 1, 2, 3, go. Aha. Aha. See. Two things I want you to take home tonight. Two things I want to take home tonight. The Spirit in God searches everything in God. The degree to which God wants you to be supernatural is how much he's willing for you to know. So God decided that you will not know by information. Okay, 21st century. There's something called a memory card here. Right? In that memory card, let's suppose that the manufacturer didn't put any memory space inside, supposing. But there's memory space inside this. Now, in God's matter, there's no memory space inside this hard disk, inside this system. All of God's memory is gathered in a memory card called Holy Spirit. Then God, in converting you to be supernatural, instead of opening the memory card and reading to you, this is what is inside this memory card, removed the memory card in this system, then found you. Then he inserted. So to what extent does God want you to be supernatural? So excuse me. Is there any knowledge in God that you cannot access? So where's the problem? You never really take the time to open the software and browse. So many of us have never actually arrived at knowing what is in the memory card. Can I tell you why? The reason is because when we read the first three informations on that memory card, because we were more competitive with the devices around us, we felt like, my life is now better than that guy. So there was no need to go on. And God was not in a race to compare you, so that in doing my life is better than the next guy, it now meant that if anybody ever came to God, he came to make his own life better, not to arrive at the fullness of the image of God. And the absence of arriving at that fullness is what our world is suffering from. Because when you arrive at the knowledge of that fullness, you know that God didn't only come to make you great. He came to make the earth great by you. Hear me. It also exonerates God from what you don't know. It means that what you do not know about the supernatural is the extent to which you have refused to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And the same memory card he put inside of me is the same memory card he put inside of you. In fact, the memory card that he put inside of you and me is the memory card that he carries. He did not give us an inferior version. He did not give us a corruptible version. He gave us the knowledge bank of the Spirit. It means what I do not know is a product of the fellowship I've refused to have and the inquiry I've refused to do. Because there are levels, there are access levels in that memory card. There are levels of knowledge that God will not commit to you because there's amount of fellowship you don't have. And the amount of fellowship converts you into what? Who can handle that realm of knowledge? Saints, if the world is dying, it's because we have refused to arrive at the supernatural. And it is not God's fault. Everything God can do has been done. There's nothing left for God to do that has not yet been done. And only a God who is hopeful can finish. And I ask you to begin. That means, can I know how the heavens and the earth were made? Yes. Why? Because the spirit that carries the data lives inside of me. But will God permit me access to that level of knowledge? Depending, if I've not fellowshiped with him enough to handle that knowledge, no. Because he knows that if he shows me the principle, the first thing I'll do is I'll run around talking about what I don't understand, so that they can put me on next year's bill for cure for desert places. So I have to bring out the big grammar of deep revelations. People tire me these days. You see the man talking about the principle, you know that he doesn't know it. You can see it written all over him. You can know that he's sharing information he does not even have access to. That's the reason why it's not everything that is preached in your presence that you have the license to teach. Your first assignment with what is preached in your presence is become it. When you become it, then you will truly understand it enough to impart it. Because people can learn what you said, but they cannot become what you said. They can only become who you are. Saints, tonight, if the knowledge bank of God is the Holy Spirit, and I have the Holy Spirit, and I've walked around every day, so I have that knowledge bank, but I browse for 30 minutes in the morning devotion. Then I run through the day, having shut down the memory card, I've closed the port. Then in the evening, I come back. So if there was anything morning devotion should do for me, is to open that portal and keep me beholding it while I'm sitting in the office. So if there's a question in the office, I'm saying, show me the answer. If an accident happens in front of me, I'm saying, sweet Holy Spirit, show me the answer. But the moment an accident happens in front of you, so I'm not a nurse. Because according to your knowledge bank, which is earthly, you need medical training to handle the circumstance. But according to the knowledge bank that is divine, you can stop a funeral procession and say to that boy, rise up. Tonight, I came to ask you, how many possibilities are in your world? Those possibilities are a product of the depth of your fellowship with the Holy Spirit. If there's anything that is still impossible before you, it's because you have not inquired. You have not fellowshipped. Our ranks in the Spirit are a product of our fellowship, not our title. Our fellowship, not our jobs. I'm a pastor by title. I'm a pastor by job. You are an engineer by job. I am not superior to you by any means. That the same access I have to that memory bank is the same access you have to that memory bank. If anybody expects me to excel as a pastor, in the same measure, I expect you to excel as an engineer. You get it, then the realm of the Spirit has become an opening for you. If you actually heard me, then maybe you would want to now pray. Take me from glory to glory, from love to deeper loving, till I become more like you. Can you pray that 3 times with me? Take me from glory to glory, from love to deeper loving, till I become. See, pray 2 more times, focused on God alone. Take me from glory to glory, from love to deeper loving, till I become more. Pray 1 more time with your hands lifted and let me pray for you. Say it. Take me from glory to glory, from love to deeper loving, till I become. Would you rise to your feet? Just say it again and expect God to answer it. Say it. Take me from glory to glory, from love to deeper loving, till I become more like you. Say 1 more time and expect him to answer. Lift up your hands and say, take me from glory to glory, from love to deeper loving, till I become more like you. Lord, as our hands are lifted before your presence right now, I ask in the name of Jesus that you open the portal of the supernatural to everyone who believes. Let a journey into deeper depths of knowing you and working in the things that are yet to come to the earth. A deeper depth that makes the reality of the supernatural natural. Lord, I ask that tonight you open. See, some of you are going to enter into realms of dreams and visions and revelation as you go from here. Some of you have never seen anything divine. Tonight, I open the door over you. I tear the curtain that has stopped you from seeing. And I declare in the name of Jesus that sight comes to you. The ability to know a realm that is beyond the realm that you are used to. To know a realm limitless. To know a realm where everything is possible. Tonight, as we stand in his presence, I ask in the name of Jesus that the veil be torn and that your eyes be opened. That realm is not like this one. There, everything functions. Everything functions. There, everything functions. Can you lift up your hand with me for a minute? Just lift up your hand if you expect. If you don't, it's all right. You can keep your hands down. But if you expect God, just lift up your hands and focus on him. Focus on him. Sing it one more time. Take me from glory to glory. Take me from glory to glory. Love to deeper love. Love to deeper love. Till I become more like you.
Till I become more like you.
Say it again. Take me from glory to glory.
Take me from glory to glory.
Love to deeper love. One more time. Say it. Take me from glory to glory.
Take me from glory to glory.
Love to deeper love.
Love to deeper love. Till I become more like you.
Unto the God that answers prayer have we come. Lord, let realms of glory open over everyone. Let realms of glory open over everyone. Quicken us in sight. Quicken us in hearing. Quicken us in understanding. Let our eyes see. Let our ears hear. Let it come into our own hearts. What God has spared for those who love. Thank you, Father. Thank you because the encounters have begun. The encounters have begun. Thank you because the encounters have begun. The encounters have begun. Somebody is entering into an angelic realm. The encounters have become. It's supposed to be normal for the church to see angels. The encounters have begun. That the Lord himself will bring you to a pedestal where you can see the things that are unseen. And that you can add that to your natural reality. Until everything about you conforms. Take a minute and pray in the Holy Ghost. If you are filled with the Spirit, take a minute and just pray. Take a minute and pray. Ledos keparada baka sandana batataya. Edos kepandi karado ketiada tea. Lord, I desire, I desire, I desire, I desire, I desire, I desire. You say, oh, he that thirsts, come and drink. Come buy food without money and without price. Come on, take a minute, take a minute, take a minute, take a minute. Sedo takataba tesketela. Raparada kateka sota bande. Ilate kara de sota esanda bakatosketia. Every knowledge that controls the earth, this is where it comes from. This is where it comes from. This is where superior wisdom comes from. This is where the knowledge of witchy inventions, this is where it comes from. Setadia kadanteska, ibralatos kipana kataidi, raparos kupadas tekiala. Some of you, the next season of your life is about to be revealed to you. The next set of decisions in your life are about to be revealed to you. The next set of things you must do are about to be revealed to you. That's where your confidence will come from. That's where your confidence will come from. The ability to tear new things. It comes when you hear the Lord. The ability to do new things. It comes when you see the Lord. The ability to enter into territories that have not yet been entered into. It comes when you know. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Indeed, it is done. The heavens over us are open. Tonight, I said to someone who has been asking, behold, indeed, the Lord says to say to you, I give you the keys to the kingdom. And the moment you enter the kingdom and you know and understand how it functions, then whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth is loosed in heaven. Some of you have been standing before an impossible door for too long. Tonight, the answer comes to you. And it comes by supernatural means. A knowledge that did not come by information. A knowledge that comes by revelation. That knowledge wells up from within you. In the name of Jesus. The curtains of the limitation are taken. And you are changed. Come on, go ahead and give God praise. Give it to me.
Thank you for listening to this message. For other life transforming messages, please call 0805-1028-787 or 0706-969-6499 or visit our website at www.femfoundationng.org.